Hallelujah. So today, you can see the title is Winning Over the Devil. I preach along this line once in a while. Does anybody think that the devil's alive and well on the planet Earth? Just this one week alone, if you watch the news, which if you want to watch, get depressed, just watch it a lot. But I mean, what did we have in Texas? A person walked in and two people were shot and killed. Where was it? It was New York where... It was a Jewish man was hit with a machete quite a few times. You saw the picture maybe on the internet where with all the stitches. So we live in a world where there's evil. And Brad was teaching us in Sunday school a little bit about second coming. And I always share, I'm looking forward to heaven when there's no more killing, no more sickness, no more disease, no more war, no more fighting or any of that stuff. We look forward to heaven, don't we? But we're here, so while we're here, God would like us to have a little victory over the devil now, amen? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So the 3 points, if you do have your notes, anytime you need your notes, raise your hand, and I'm sure an usher will bring them to you. But number one, now we could spend a long time on this, but I like to look a lot of times what the scripture says about the topic that I'm going to share. So we're going to look at 3 or 4 passages about what the Bible says about the devil. And then number two, we're going to look at Jesus' earthly life. What did he do to the devil? Do you think when Jesus walked around here for especially his 3.5 years of ministry, do you think the devil defeated him? He walked in victory over the devil, right? So we'll look a little bit at Jesus' earthly life. But what's really key then is actually in the cross and the resurrection, he gave us that power and authority to the church. So we don't have to live a defeated life because Jesus lives on the inside of us. He's given us the name of Jesus, the Word of God, the faith of God, the Holy Spirit, and a whole bunch of other things to help us to walk in victory, and we want that, amen? And point number 3, which we always want to get, and actually Sean did an amazing job of reminding me that on that Wednesday night, and we try to do that every sermon, but point number 3 should always be in the sermon, how does this apply to us? You know, it's nice to read the scriptures in the Old Testament, New Testament, how they dealt with the devil, but how does that affect me today? How can I win the victory over the devil today? So follow along in your notes. And the first story is about Isaiah 14. If you want to look there, you can. Otherwise, you don't have to. You know the story. And it's also in Ezekiel 28. Now, we don't know all the details when it says a third of the angels. It might not have been exactly a third. That might have been symbolically. But whatever, a large group of angels thought they could do what? What did they think they could do? You can raise your hand and I'll call in if you want. Nobody wants to raise their hand. All right. They thought that they could defeat the God. They thought that they could win. They really did. They wouldn't have done that unless they thought they could. You know, how silly to think that you're ever going to defeat God. Actually, about half the world thinks that you're still going to defeat God. I've read the back of the book. You don't win. We do. Come on, you guys. Amen. Laugh. Just make me happy. Amen. We win. Not only do we win at the second coming or at the rapture or at the end of the millennium or when Jesus locks up the devil for all eternity at the end of the millennium, we win there. But he also wants us to actually have victory in our lives now because that's what we want. All right. So Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, what do you think caused Satan to fall? What a couple characteristics. Why did Satan do what he did? Okay, raise your hand. What? Jealousy. Yeah, jealousy. All right, somebody else said? Pride. All right, those are 2 big ones. Anything else? Ego, whatever. He wanted probably power control. But I'd say pride would be one of the biggest parts. And if you read those, there's a lot of I will statements in Ezekiel 28, and there's a lot of I will statements, I believe, in Isaiah 14. You want to know how you give place to the devil? He let pride, selfishness, and I come the center of your life. That's just like saying, Satan, come on into my life if you got pride in your life, because pride goes before a fall or destruction as well, amen? So we don't want to be like Lucifer. We don't want to have pride. We don't want to value our independence more than interdependence and working together. We don't want pride because pride leads to bad things in a church, in a marriage, in a family, in work, and every single else. So we don't want to follow Lucifer's example from that story, all right? So that's Isaiah 14. All right, let's go to Genesis 3. You already know this story. The temptation with the serpent, with Adam and Eve. And what did the devil say to Adam and Eve? What did he say? Okay. All right. What do you got back there, Lila? Real loud. Okay, to eat of the fruit. All right. Awesome, Lila. All right. So, but here's one of the things also I want to add to that story. What did the devil say? This is how he's going to tempt you all the time. Has God said? Okay? Now, our world today doesn't believe what God says. That's why they think abortion is okay. Okay? God said all kinds of verses about the power of life and death, and that we're actually conceived in the womb, and I knew you in your womb, and all that different stuff. Amen? So the devil came to Adam and Eve, tried to get them to question and doubt the will of God, the word of God, and actually the goodness of God. You know, trying to get them to think that there was something that they were missing out on. That's where the temptation comes to you. The devil's going to try to get, you know what, you're a Christian. You know what, guess what, you're going to have peer pressure because of that. You're going to lose out. You're not going to be invited to certain things because they know you don't do what they do. All right? The devil's going to say, has God said with all kinds of, when you're doubting God, anybody ever doubt God other than me? You know, all right, when, let's say your prayers aren't answered or something's not working out and you're like, come on, God, you said in your word, if I prayed that you'd help me out here, you know, I've been waiting for about 10, 20 years. He said, well, I think Moses waited for it. Whatever. Come on, you guys with me? All right. So with the temptation, they doubted the goodness of God. God had the best plan. He provided, he gave them one commandment. Actually, we don't need a lot of rules and laws if you love God. You know, all the rules, people, criminals don't obey rules, amen? The person that walked into the Texas church and shot people, didn't he already have felonies? He was not supposed to have a gun. Hello, let me just throw politics in here every week. Criminals don't follow laws. Hello, amen? Okay, but so has God said. So with the temptation, and same thing with your life. He's going to get you to not believe parts of the scripture. Part of a struggle, actually, even with the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments is to keep the Sabbath holy. But sometimes in our minds, we doubt that that's actually one of the Ten Commandments, and we should actually keep the Sabbath holy. You guys still love me? Yes. Amen? Has God really said that I'm supposed to not forsake the assembling of myself together with other believers? Has God really said that I have to do all those things all the time? I'm sorry, I'm just meddling right now for a couple minutes. You'll forgive me, amen? All right, let's go on to the next one, and let's read. Once in a while, turn your Bibles, because they're not all going to be up there. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 12. Then you can follow along with me a little bit better. And we'll get to some other passages in a second. But Revelation 12 and verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out. Okay, this has reference to old. It has reference to Jesus' life in his death and resurrection. I personally, don't get offended over this, also believe it has reference to the future. Satan's going to be cast down for all of eternity. I think it's actually going to happen part before that as well. All right? The serpent of old, Revelation 12, 9, 20, verse 2, the serpent called the devil, called Satan, and what does he do? He deceives the whole world. Matthew 24 and numerous places in the New Testament, it says, be careful that you do not be deceived. So when we get to personal application, the way you overcome deception is you know your Bible. Because then when he misquotes scripture like he did to Jesus with the temptation, you say, no, we believe in the divinely inspired word of God. We believe in the authority of scripture. And if the Bible says it, we believe it, we obey it, we do it. Amen? All right. So Satan is going to be cast down. He was cast down in a way with the resurrection of Jesus. Just a couple passages, once again, talking about the devil. Don't have to turn there. Maybe you can read it during the week. But do you guys remember the story of Daniel? I'm not going to remember every detail, but in Daniel chapter 10, he was praying and he was believing for an answer from God. And what happened during those 21 days? When Daniel prayed and wanted something to happen, it happened immediately that day. He got the answer. Amen? No, good. That was a trick question. All right. It was 21 days, and what did he do? He not just prayed, but he fasted in sackcloth and ashes, didn't he? Some, you know, I'm still believing for things that God showed me when I was a teenager. So I'm 58 now, just turned 58. That's 45 years ago. Different things that God showed me that he was going to do with my life haven't happened yet. Should I just throw in the towel and say, oh, that wasn't the will of God? No, I know it was the will of God. God showed me dreams and visions and spoke to me through the scripture about my life and being in the ministry and some of the things that were going to happen in the ministry that God was going to bless me through, and some of those things haven't happened yet. Should I just throw in the towel and say, oh, it wasn't the will of God? No, because the devil doesn't want the will of God to be done in my life. He doesn't want those miracles in that ministry to happen, but we have faith and patience that we can inherit the promise. That's exactly what Daniel did. He continued to fast and pray and seek God and believe God and have faith for 21 days. And what happened? You guys help me with the story because I didn't read it through enough times this week. What resisted Daniel after he prayed? Yes, come on, Angelica.
It was the prince of Persia, the principality, the demons,
Gabriel,
the angel, had to fight the demon.
Okay.
And he couldn't do it by himself.
So, man, I'm going to look this way whenever I need help in my sermon. There we go, right there. Awesome, Angelica. So, he prayed. The prince of Persia, do you realize in Ephesians 6 when you're binding principalities and powers and wicked spirits and all those things, there's princes over polities? Princes over regions. Did you know there's a prince over Iran? There's a prince over Iraq? There's probably quite a few demons over those regions. Amen? There's probably demons that are over Washera County and even Watoma, whatever. There's princes and powers that rule in the area that we battle against. Okay? Daniel didn't give up. He continued to believe, like we're going to continue to believe, that God can pour out his spirit at Crossroads Family Church. That every prayer that's been prayed in this sanctuary or in this church or for this church the last 50 to 60 years still can be answered and God can fulfill them. Amen? Wouldn't that be amazing? Now, the devil would want you to give up and say, my goodness, you've been praying that one for 45, 50 years. Why don't you just forget it? I don't think God's going to do it. Like, no. The will of God, we just have to persist. Amen? So that's a good story. Daniel did intercession. He did resistance against the devil. He stood strong. And actually, you have to do the same thing. Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, you wrestle not with us. We shouldn't be wrestling with each other. We do once in a while. We wrestle against principalities, powers, wicked spirits, and all that stuff. All right. That's probably enough for point one, or what do you think? Let's go on to a couple more scriptures. You have them in your notes. Two more verses before we go to point number two. 1 John 5:19, what does it say? The whole world lies under the power of the evil one. Okay, so sometimes we think it's a natural battle that we're facing. Right now would be a really, really good time to pray for our president. The Bible commands us to do that. It'd be a good time to pray for our military. It'd be a good time to pray for the Iraqi leaders. Okay, I don't know what the will of God is for all of that, you know, and all that stuff, but we'd like our troops to be safe, wouldn't we? We'd like everybody in the world to be safe, wouldn't we? Okay, it'd be a good time to pray. And that's one of the ways that we deal with the enemy. Because the enemy, the Muslims, this is not political, this is biblical, they like to rule the whole world. They don't like the fact that you're here today meeting as Christians. They don't like Christianity. They don't like Christian churches. We want actually to establish the kingdom of God and the will of God. And there it says the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. Okay, you're actually, if you're a Christian, there's a resistance against you every day of your life. Okay? Can't believe maybe my parents didn't know we did it, but growing up, we had a ski boat in high school. They let me take that out, whatever. When we'd go out on the Mississippi River, maybe 3 days a week, just having a good time after we had spent a good day at work. But why am I saying this? Oh, we never swam upstream because that would never happen. But we'd go from one island all the way across the main channel. Don't do this, all right? I would not even do 1/100th of that length nowadays. But anyway, we'd swim from one island to the next, okay? Why am I sharing this story, all right? Don't do it. It's stupid. No, just kidding, all right? We would always go with the stream because there's no way you can swim against the Mississippi River. I don't think that Mark Spitz, the best swimmer, or whoever it was, whoever the other guy that said all those Olympic things, I don't even know. Yeah, he probably could. But make it to be able to swim from one island up in that kind of current, up against that one kind of stream. Well, you're a Christian, and you live in a world or whatever, and it's you trying to go from that one island to the next upstream because the whole world lies under the power of the evil one, and you need to be aware of that. It's not just because of something you did or whatever life. The devil hates you. He's against you. He wants to kill. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's go to point number two. So how did Jesus deal with the devil? Let's go ahead and read that, if I can find it in my notes. Luke chapter 4. I found it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to put that up on the screen. This is dealing with a temptation, how Jesus dealt with the devil. So let's read a few of the verses. Here's a good way to defeat the devil. In verse 1, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. If you want to defeat the devil, how about you be full of the Holy Spirit? You're a part of a Pentecostal church if you didn't know that. And we give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit more than most churches. Most churches limit the Holy Spirit, grieve the Holy Spirit, quench the Holy Spirit because they're awesome. They love God. They're going to heaven. They're doing a great work. But we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. What Jenny was doing there, what Sandra, you did with the word of the Lord, sometimes in the service, actually the whole time service, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak to us, amen? And then wait upon it. But here it says, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to defeat the devil, it'd be a good idea for you to walk in the Spirit and then be full of the Spirit and walk in the things of the Spirit. And that helped Jesus to walk in victory. All right, so the verse 1 and 2, he went 40 days without eating. He was fasting. Verse 3, the Son of God came, and he says, once again, he'll get even Jesus to doubt who he was. He will try to get you to doubt your identity. You're a child of God. You're actually secure. You're actually secure in the beloved. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I had all of those 144 verses in the New Testament memorized about our identity, and I used to tell myself them all the time. And in the midst of that telling me that I'm accepted in the beloved, I'm his workmanship, I'm made in the image and likeness of God, and all of those things with identity, the devil would still speak to my mind. He still does it today. You can tell by my behavior, I'm still nervous. I'm still not totally relaxed because the devil plays with my mind with fear and anxiety. And am I the only one that ever struggles with any of these things? All right? The devil comes whatever, to get you to doubt the word of God, to doubt the goodness of God like he did to Adam. And he'll fill all kinds of things in your mind all the time. I mean, this was crazy. I wasn't the head coach. Steve was there helping me yesterday, but Jessica was coaching the club team. She just asked us to help. But I looked at Jesse, and Steve could already see it. You know, this is seventh grade girls, and it's 12:30, and I'm as nervous as all get out. Like Jesse looks at me, it's going to be okay. It was okay, even though they got beat, whatever. But you know, just how the devil plays in your mind, partial, that's my personality. But whatever, as far as here with Jesus, the devil was trying to get him to doubt who he was. If you are the Son of God, well, he's going to try to get you to doubt who you are. And you are a child of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And if God be for you, nothing can be against you. You're going to win, amen? And don't believe the lies. All those things that he tells you that bring fear and anxiety and worry and stress and all those things into our heart all the time with our emotions. The devil brings them, but God is there and trying to bring peace and rest and security and love and all those things to heal our hearts. Amen? So here's what you do. You do exactly what Jesus answered, said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So when the devil lies to you saying it's not going to work out, God's never going to answer the prayer, this is never going to change, whatever, you don't believe what the devil says, amen? You come back with the word of God. All right, so the devil brought him to a high place, and he said, I'll give you all this authority and splendor if you just bow down and worship me. Truth of the matter is, that was a legitimate temptation. Do you believe that? In the fall, in Genesis, when they fell, they handed over the keys of this world to Satan. Do you believe that? Okay? When they fell, Satan gained legal authority and legal access into the world. So when he did this temptation, this was a real temptation. Satan had authority in this earth. Jesus came back to get the authority for you and I. Satan was trying to get that authority to come back illegitimately. He was wanting Jesus to get outside of the will of the Father and not do the cross, not do what the will of the Father was, but to do it his way. And the devil's always trying to deceive you. The devil's always trying to trick you. And guess what? If Jesus would have sinned and gave in to the temptation, we would not have the authority that God has given us today because Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross. It wouldn't have worked out. Are you glad that Jesus passed the test? Truth of the matter is, Jesus is in you, and you can pass the test today. You can win. All these things happen for us as example. Now Christ in me is your hope of glory. Now you can do the same works that Jesus did and greater. Now he's not only given Jesus authority, but he defeated the devil and gave the authority to the church. He says, I give to you all authority, all power over all the works of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So Jesus won the victory over the temptation, over the deception, over all of the different things. Once again, you're going to be tempted with what you worship. If you worship me, sometimes we think that we can make Jesus our Savior so we're going to heaven, and then we think we don't have to fully follow the Lordship of Jesus and we can still get to heaven and everything's going to be okay. I'm going to be a smart aleck right now. Can you help me show me where you found that in the Bible? Because I haven't found that one yet. Okay, when in Romans 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be. For with the heart man believes, resulting in salvation. With the mouth confession is made, resulting in whatever the last part of that verse was.
Salvation.
Thank you, Brad. All right, I have brain stuff that goes on once in a while. All right, you can laugh. But that verse is a good one. You don't separate Jesus being Savior and Jesus being Lord. We teach that in the church today. Oh, just come forward, say a prayer, and you're saved. And you know how many people are going to hell that went forward and prayed that prayer? Is that okay for a pastor to say that? Okay? I'm sorry. You coming forward, if you got saved doing that, glory to God. But you're saved because you made Jesus Lord and you followed up and you became a Christ follower for the rest of your life, not because you prayed a prayer, which I did 45 years ago. I followed up that prayer with 45 years of trying to obey the commandments of God and the Lordship of Jesus. And here's with this. I know I give you a lot of information, but what are you going to worship? I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm going to surrender my life. I'm going to worship him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Anyway, that's a good one. We'll maybe look at the other verses at another time. Go ahead and turn your Bible to Job. All right, you guys look that up. I think it's chapter 1. How's this from going from my head? You guys help me out. Where it describes everything that happened to Job. Somebody make sure it's Job 1. I'm sure it is. All right, thank you. All right. We'll read that in a second. So point number two, how did Jesus deal with the devil? Well, there we saw that he overcame the temptation, he overcame the deception, and he won victory over the devil. All right, we'll skip about 20 verses because I give you too many verses every week. All right, thank you, Lord. Let's go all the way to, well, it's different in your notes, all the way to the verses of Colossians chapter 2, 15 in your notes. If you're following along in your notes. I know it's going to be hard because I just skipped a whole pages of notes. Okay? But in Colossians 2:15, here's what Jesus did on the cross. It said, Jesus spoiled principalities and powers, authorities, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen? Okay? So I shared this illustration about a month ago, didn't I? Do you remember about with policemen? What do they have? They usually have a badge, right? So you know that they're a policeman. All right? Now, if that's all that they had, they would not be as successful as they could be at different times. What else do they have to back up that authority that they have a right to do what they do as our policemen? What do they have? A what? A weapon. They have a gun. Amen? Okay, so when you accept Jesus Christ, he's given you authority because you're now a part of the family of God. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and now you're in God's kingdom. But he hasn't left you without a weapon, amen? You know I'm conservative, so I was okay when that security person stood up and didn't let the other person that came in. He already had shot and killed two people, and his intention probably was to kill more. Are you with me? Okay. You guys still okay if I tell gun stories? All right, I'm in the right place, aren't I? All right. But anyway, the point of that, thank God he wasn't able to kill more people, but Jesus has given us not just a badge. Thank God we don't just have a badge. We say, hey, I'm a Christian, don't do that. We got some power to back it up, amen? And something better than a gun is actually the name of Jesus and the Word of God and faith and the Holy Spirit. So not only do you have the authority, Jesus has also given you the power to overcome the devil. He laid his death and resurrection to your account. So we're going to quote just two more verses here. Colossians 2:15, Jesus, you guys haven't raised your hand yet. You're not doing a very good job. Raise your hand if I get going too fast. There you go. Thank you, Lila. Raise it about every 5 minutes. All right? So Jesus spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the death and the resurrection. Jesus won the victory. Hebrews 2:14, this is awesome. I share this verse probably every funeral. Through death, Jesus destroyed him that had the power of the death, that is the devil. So that means that death can't hold us in the grave. That means that to be absent from the body, we can be present with the Lord. The power of death that Satan had was broken through Jesus Christ. And there is a heaven, there is a resurrection, there is an eternity, and we have that hope. Amen? So Satan had the power of hell, death, the grave, sin, all that kind. It says that in Revelation. Amen? But then Jesus, I'm sorry, that's paraphrased. I have the keys of death, hell, Hades, and the grave. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning, and I'm the end. Amen? Jesus went down to hell, whatever, and totally destroyed the power of the evil one. Rose from the dead on the third day, and then he gave that authority to the church, and he says, I want you to go heal the sick. You cleanse the lepers. You raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. I give you the authority that I had when I cast out devils through the demons that were in that person into the swine. They ran off the cliff. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. Healed the deaf, whatever. He did all kinds of miracles. Amen? And now that same resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, where is that now? It dwells in the inside of you. So we can walk in victory. Is it easy? No. Truth of the matter is, I still battle with the victory I shouldn't every single day of my life. I'm like fighting the devil. I mean, get out of here. I'm tired of all this rotten nervousness or fear or anxiety or the stuff that the devil would bring in my mind. Get out of here. And then quote the word of God and then said, God, please just help me out with this. Amen? What else verse did I get in quote there? We quoted two. We got one more, 1 John 3:8. Then we'll go to point number three and we'll make point three really quick. Quicker than I did last time when I said I was going to go 10 minutes. You guys, you could laugh once in a while. All right, 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest that he might destroy the works of the enemy. The word destroy there in the Greek is kartageo. It's the name of my brother's ministry. That's why I remember it. But it means to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil for you. Let's go to point number three. We'll go through this quickly. Actually, let's read just a little bit of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 13. There's a day when his sons and daughters are eating, drinking wine at his older brother's house. A messenger came to Job, said, your oxen were plowing, donkeys were feeding beside them. That group came, raided them, took them, killed the servants, the edge of the sword. I'm alone to escape to tell you. This was not a good day for Job. Do you remember this story? I wouldn't want to have been there that day. While he was still speaking, another servant came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven, burned up all the sheep and the servants. So now all your cattle are done. If you're milking, you're raising Holsteins, raising heifers, whatever, all of a sudden all your money that you're going to make from milk and from the Holsteins, whatever, all your sheep, all your cattle, they're all dead. I've alone to escape you. While he's still speaking, another came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands. They raided the camels, took them away, yes, killed the servants by the edge of the sword. I alone to escape you. So you got three of them that survived so far. All right. Then another one came to your sons or daughters. They were eating, drinking wine in their older brother's house. Suddenly a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. They fell on the young people. They're all dead. Not a good day. Amen. All right, Job tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, worshipped. Wow, I'm not sure I would have done that. What did his wife want him to do? Curse God and die. Yeah, yeah. All right, I can make a smart aleck response there, but I'd get in trouble, so I'm not going to. All right? You don't want to curse God and die, amen? You know what? Different times in your life, you're going to question. That's just a part of life. I question all kinds of things that have happened to my family or different things, and I'm never going to probably understand the answer. But the devil's going to come and try to tell you this Christianity stuff is a bunch of hooey. Just forget it. It doesn't work. Are you guys with me this morning? Mark 4:17, another verse. It's in your notes. You can look at it later. But it says, persecution and affliction arises. Why? For the word's sake. Why does the devil bring rotten stuff in your life or stuff that happens? He wants to steal Jesus out of your heart. He wants to steal the call, the plan, the word, the will of God. That's one of the reasons why all the bad things happen. The other reason is that, guess what? Satan is the god of this world, and it's going to happen because he's the ruler of this world. Some of the stuff you can't do anything about. It says the whole world lies under the power of darkness. Because of the fall, because of the curse, because of the authority that the devil still does have in the earth, bad things happen to good all the time. Okay? There's an example for us in Job. As difficult as church life can be sometimes. You guys are amazing. I love Crossroads. I love you. But I guarantee you, every day at Crossroads has not been a piece of cake. Amen? Are you guys with me? Okay? The enemy would say, well, let me just give you a little thing. Wherever there's people, there's going to be difficulties. Okay? Whether it's your marriage, your kids aren't always perfect, are they? Okay? I'm sorry, grandkids? Or great-grandkids? We got a person in church today that's never been in church today. Where is Bo right there? We got Bo here in church today. Hey, every Sunday we want somebody in church that has never been here before. Can you guys help me with that? She did her part. Now who's going to do something? Anyway, all right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Better get back to the notes here. But anyway, with Job, it's a good story, isn't it? Part of it's a bad story. I don't like reading that story. I don't usually preach on that story. The truth of the matter is there's a lot of really, really bad theology that comes from the book of Job. The point that we want to learn is that even when that happens, we're going to walk through it with God. All right. How can we defeat the devil? Luke 10, walk in the authority that God has for us. All right. I'm going to give you about 3 verses, and I'm going to read a page, and we'll close. Ephesians 4:27, how do you overcome the devil? Don't give place to the devil. The reason the devil does certain things in your life is because you've given place to him. Okay, I'm going to read a list of how a church can sometimes open the door to the enemy, and hopefully we don't do any of these things, amen? 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, don't be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. You want to know how the devil's going to defeat you, okay? You want to know your weaknesses. Do you know your weaknesses? Do you know how the devil's going to attack you? You know, different times I know some of my weaknesses, so I don't even come close to them with a 10-foot pole because, you know what? I know that's just not good. I'm just going to stay away from that, amen? So I want to be aware of how the devil is going to attack me. Romans 16, if you want to overcome the devil, just be excellent at what is good. If you do what's right, it's just good. And be innocent of evil. And then what does it say? The God of peace will crush Satan underneath your feet. All right. I'm going to read this list, and then we're going to close in prayer. This might be a little bit, you think, all right, negative, but as a church, I love you guys. I believe we have a good church here, but I want to close the door to the enemy. And I want to close the door in all future things that the devil would try to bring in our church. This is for your personal life. This is for our church. We are blessed. I love you. But here's a way that we don't give place to the enemy any more time, anytime within Crossroads Family Church. No gossip. No slander. No politics. Uh-oh. Don't, no. Why did I write that? I'll have to, whatever. Do you know what I mean as far as politics within a church that's not good sometimes? That's what I meant. Do you guys get that? All right, let's go with that part of it. All right. No secret society. What do we value here is really, really, really great communication and transparency. No country club. No Jezebel spirit. You know what that is? When people try to do illegitimate control over other people, amen? None of that. Amen? We can always have good annual meetings. You guys with me? You will as long as I'm the pastor here, because none of that any monkey shine business will ever happen. Are you guys with me? Is that right to say that? Are you with me? Because you know what? You can actually bind whatever spirit is behind different things. And then you can actually communicate with people and find out what is the real reason behind things. And if you communicate and talk, guess what? It will never escalate to something really bad. You got, is that right to say all that stuff this morning? No Jezebel spirit, no pride, no prayerlessness, no rebellion. That means that I'm willing to be under authority. Okay, hopefully you'll never catch me abusing authority. If you do, you can correct me right there. But also, the Bible teaches for you, it's a good thing for you to be under authority. And if you struggle with authority, the devil has a wide open door into your life. Did you know that? You know, if I ever say a verse on authority, it's not because I'm trying to lord it over you. Hopefully not. If it is, just rebuke me and tell me get with it. Amen? All right? But you know what? If you're not under authority, the devil has free access into your life. No lukewarmness, no worldliness, no fleshliness, no selfishness, no self-worth, no self-will, all right, no offense, no unforgiveness, no long-term anger, hatred, or bitterness, no clamor or evil speaking, all right? Let's pray. I'll end with good stuff now in my prayer. Father, I thank you for this absolutely amazing church. We thank you, Lord.